The fire plume. The season had begun when fish are plenty near the shore of the lake. Wasamo, setting out early in his canoe, had made his way along the shore to a fishing ground where he had spread his nets. It was evening now, and as he pulled in the nets he saw that he was fortunate, for here and there the meshes were white with fish. Immediately he set a kettle on his campfire, and soon the fish were boiling. When they were done, he removed the kettle and, taking a wooden ladle, skimmed off the oil, for the fish were very fat. He had a torch of twisted bark in one hand to give light, but when it came time to remove the fish, he did not know how to hold it. Taking off his leg bands, he wrapped them around his head and tied up the lighted torch so that it rose from his forehead in a feather of flames. With both hands free, he began to take out the fish, every now and then moving his head as he blew off the oil from the broth. As he hastened to remove the last of them, blowing repeatedly over the kettle, the plume of fire above his head waved brilliantly in the air. Suddenly he heard a laugh. Looking out as far as the torch threw light, he saw two beautiful young women smiling at him. Charmed by their appearance, he started toward them. But just as he was about to speak, he fell unconscious, and both he and they vanished together. Recovering his senses, he found himself in a superb lodge extending as far as the eye could see. Someone spoke to him, saying, "Stranger, awake and take something to eat." He arose and sat up. On each side of the lodge there were rows of people sitting in regular order. At a distance he could see two prominent persons who looked older than the rest and who appeared to command obedience from all around them. They were the old spirit and his wife. The old spirit addressed him, saying, "Son, my daughters brought you here. They saw you at the fishing ground. When you tried to approach them, you fell unconscious, and they brought you underground to this place. I have often wished to have one of your people live with us. If you can make up your mind to remain, I will give you one of my daughters in marriage." Wasamo dropped his head and made no answer. By his silence, he gave his assent. "All of your wants shall be supplied," said the old spirit. "Here is my daughter. Take her. She shall be your wife." And from that time on, they sat beside each other in the lodge and were considered as married. Then the wife of the old spirit spoke and said, "Daughter, your husband cannot eat what we eat. You must get him what he is accustomed to." In reply, the daughter pushed her hand through the side of the lodge and took a white fish out of the lake. Every day from that time on, she used the same method, giving her husband trout, pike, sturgeon, or whatever kind of fish he desired. Likewise, she would give him the meat of any animal or fowl, for animals walked over the roof of the lodge. Birds sat upon its poles, and the waters came so near to its side that the spirits had only to reach outside for whatever they wished. One day the old spirit said, "Son-in-law, I am in want of tobacco. You shall return to visit your parents and make known my wishes. The distance is short to your village. A path leads directly to it, and when you get there, do not forget my requests." Wasamo promised to do as he was told and soon set out together with his wife. They followed a path to the top of a rise, then walked a short distance under the lake, emerging from the water at a point not far from the village. When they arrived, the people were thrown into a state of commotion. All were anxious to see Wasamo, for they had thought him dead. While the excitement was at its height, he entered the lodge of his parents. They were filled with joy to see him. He related all that had happened to him, how he had attached the fire plume to his head and how he had disappeared from the campsite. He told them where he had been and how he had come to be married. They were astonished at his wife's beauty, and more so at her ability to converse with them in their own language. All was joy in the village. There was nothing but feasting. People came from nearby villages to offer them welcome and to present their tobacco to the old spirit's daughter and her husband. In return, they asked that the spirits grant them long life, success in hunting, and a plentiful supply of food. Wassamo promised to convey each of their requests to his father-in-law. So much tobacco had been offered that it filled two sacks of moose skin. On the outside of these skins, each person painted his own family mark or totem to show who had given the tobacco. When the time came for Wassamo and his wife to leave, he told his relatives not to follow them or to see how they disappeared. Taking the tobacco, they said goodbye to all but one cousin who had been Wasamo's closest companion. He insisted on going with them a distance, and when they got to the edge of the lake, he urged them to take him with them. Wassamo told him it was impossible, that it was only spirits who could grant the power to make such a journey. With great affection, then, they parted. The cousin watched as they walked into the water. He returned home and told his family and friends that he had witnessed their disappearance. When Wassamo and his wife reached their home under the lake, the old spirit greeted them with open arms. They presented him with the tobacco and told him all the requests of the people above. He promised he would attend to them all, but before he could do so, he must first invite the other spirits to come share the tobacco and smoke with him. The great coming together of the spirits was promptly arranged, and toward the middle of the day they began to arrive. There were spirits from all parts of the country, some good, some wicked, some dangerous. Suddenly, when most had arrived, Wassamo heard the roaring and foaming of waters. Rushing in, they passed through the lodge like a raging storm. Tremendous pieces of rock, whole trees, logs, stumps rolled past and were swept away in the current. The spirit of waterfalls had arrived. Next, they heard the roaring of waves as if beating against a rocky shore. In a few moments, the waves of the lake rolled into the lodge, mountain high and covered with silver, sparkling foam. Wassamo felt their pressure and with difficulty clung to his seat, for each one seemed as if it would overwhelm him. This was the spirit of the islands in the surrounding lake. At last, all the spirits were gathered, including the guardian spirit of Wassamo's tribe. The old spirit arose and addressed the assembly. "Brothers," he said, "I have invited you to share with me this offering made by the mortals on earth, which has been brought to us by my son-in-law. Brothers, you see their wishes and desires." And he pointed to the totems covering the tobacco-filled moose skins. "Brothers," he continued, "the offering is worthy of our consideration. Brothers, I see nothing on my part to prevent our granting their requests. They do not appear to be unreasonable. One thing more I would say, brothers, it is this. My son-in-law is a mortal. I wish to keep him with me, and it is in our power to make him one of us." "Okay, okay," ran through the whole company of spirits. Thus they signified their approval. The tobacco was then divided equally among them. They would grant the requests of the people on earth, and also the requests of the old spirit regarding his son-in-law. When the company had left, the old spirit told Wassamo that he must once more visit his parents and relatives. "It is merely to tell them that their wishes are granted and then to bid them farewell forever." Shortly thereafter, Wassamo and his wife set out once again, bringing with them the message that the people's request for long life, good hunting, and plentiful food had been granted. "Now," said Wassamo, "I must bid you all farewell." His parents and friends raised their voices in loud lamentation. They went with him to the edge of the lake, where they all seated themselves to see him make his final departure. The day was mild, the sky clear. Not a cloud appeared, nor a breath of wind to disturb the bright surface of the lake. The most perfect silence reigned throughout the company. They gazed intently on Wassamo and his wife as they waded out into the water, waving their hands. They saw them go into deeper and deeper water. They saw the waves close over their heads. All at once they raised a loud and piercing wail. They looked again. A red glow, as if the sun had glanced on the wave, marked the spot for an instant. But the feather of flames and his wife had disappeared forever.